For the past several years, Oceanside has had a theme for the entirety of the year. I looked up the definition of that word theme, and one of the definitions is this: a unifying or dominant idea. What we want to do is this: we want to give us something that we put in our thoughts that will keep us focused on that one point throughout the entirety of the year. Folks, a theme is supposed to make us grow. A theme is supposed to make us better. A theme is supposed to be something that causes us to ultimately be something that maybe we are not at this present time. Now, here's what's interesting about themes. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. And the reason they don't is because sometimes a congregation does not latch on and get behind the theme that the elders may give to the congregation. You see, it takes the congregation making ownership of that in order to make the theme productive for the coming year. Our theme this year is very, very simple. And very simply is this: doing what I can do. Easy theme, isn't it? And today we're going to kick off that theme. And both of the sermons, both this one and the one at 11 o'clock, center around that particular theme. And the title for this lesson is the exact title of the theme: doing what I can do. We have 4 points. Point number 2 is 10 sermons long. Okay? Point number 1, what the theme is not. Folks, the theme is not this: doing whatever I want to do. That's not the theme. The theme is not this: doing as little as I can. That's what some people want to do with their Christianity. I'll do just as little as I can do. And for some, it's an hour a week, if that much. That's not the theme. The theme this year is not this: doing what I think I can do. Sometimes what we think we can do and what we can do are miles apart, are they not? We deceive ourselves sometimes and thinking that we can't do something. Our theme is not this: doing less than I can do. Our theme is not doing nothing at all. Our theme is not doing exactly what I've always done. You see, sometimes we get in a rut, don't we? And we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over and over again, and yet we're not doing what we can do. Our theme is not this: doing just enough to ease my conscience. You see, there's some people who practice their Christianity that way. As long as I do this little thing and that little thing, then I'm okay. I'm a spiritual person. I'm religious. God will save me in the last day. That's not the theme for this year, folks. Here's our theme: doing what I can do. And for the next 2 hours, this is the second point. We're going to be looking at each one of those words and talking about them. The very first word is the word doing. The definition of that word is this: action, performance, and I love that last word, execution. Most of the Christian life is supposed to be a life that is full of action, is it not? It is supposed to involve our effort, our toil, our labor, our execution of the Word of the living God every day of our lives. And there are many verses that exhort us to be doers, aren't there? Matthew 7, verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." We turn a little bit further in the book of Matthew 12, verse 50, and Jesus' mother and his brethren have come to see him. They come to him and tell him that his mother and brethren are outside, and Jesus says, "For whosoever shall do the will of God, which is in heaven, the same is what my brother and my sister and my mother. On another occasion, Jesus says this, blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. Matthew 24, verse 46. Paul, writing in Romans 2, says this, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. And just last Wednesday, we studied Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. My friends, over and over, from start to finish of the New Testament, we are exhorted and we are commanded to be what? To be doers of God's will. As I was thinking about this particular point, something crossed my mind that was pretty interesting. And it was this. Every major character in the pages of God's Word was a doer, was he not? When you and I think of individuals in the Bible who were faithful, dedicated children of God, every one of them were doers. Name me one character in the Bible that was faithful to God that wasn't a doer of God's will. Noah was a doer, was he not? David was a doer. Esther was a doer. John the Baptist was a doer. Every individual that you can think of, both small and great, whether named or unnamed, they were always doers of what God desired for them to do. Notice secondly, what? Doing what? That little word indicates that there is an area of work that you and I as Christians can be engaged in. Oftentimes individuals in congregations will ask a question like this, what can I do? That's a good question, is it not? Now here's what's interesting. There is usually plenty a person can do, note that last part, if he or she really, really wants to do it. I'm amazed at how many people think, oh, there's just not much to do. Are you kidding me? There's tons to do. Let me give you some illustrations. Some of the things that you can do involve skills, don't they? If you want to be a teacher, it's going to involve a little bit of skill on your part. But there's some works of the church that require zero skills. If you can bend over, stoop down, and pick up a piece of paper, you can pick up trash. That doesn't take any skill, does it? Even a preacher can do that. I say that because we have our Adopt-a-Highway program. And we need individuals to be involved in that program in order to keep our signs that advertise for us up on the highway. There's some things that require the men to do them, don't they? Leadership positions in the Lord's church, and especially leadership positions during the worship. Men who pray, men who lead the singing, men who wait on the table. But there are some things that require a woman to do, like teaching those small children's classes. Victor Eskew would go nuts if I had to do that. And yet the women can do that and they just love it to death, do they not? You see, there's things that are geared for the men and some things that are geared to women. How about this next one? There are some things that require a little bit of creativity. If you want to be involved in decorating things, it takes a little bit of creativity. Or how to use Pinterest. That's the way some people get creative. You know that? But then there's other things that don't require any creativity, but they may require a little bit of hard work on the part of individuals. Take, for instance, coming and helping to clean the building 2 times a year. Some of that work that we do can be pretty tiresome and pretty laborious. And we're grateful for individuals who do that, but it's something that an individual can do and serve in the congregation. Some things that we do require some concern and care on the part of the individuals. Today at 2:30, we'll go to Anthem Lakes, will we not? And we don't have a big crew there. But we do have two of our members who are there. And if we go for nobody else but them, is it not worth it to encourage them because we care and we love those individuals? The same is true of our clothing closet as well. Because we're trying to reach out to our community and help take care of some needs that individuals might have. And we have anywhere from 10 to 25 individuals coming on a regular basis to that clothing closet. If you care about individuals, if you're concerned about them, you might be involved in that clothing closet. And guess what? There's some things that don't take much care or concern. We need some men to set up some tables, set up some chairs. We need some ladies to take home some tablecloths and wash those. It doesn't take a whole lot of care and concern. Just a little effort, doesn't it? There are works in the church that require meeting some requirements before you're able to do them. The office of an elder, the office of a deacon. Those requirements are clearly laid out in Scripture before an individual can fulfill those responsibilities. But then there's some things that don't really have any requirements to them other than a person be faithful. There's no requirements that I know of other to pray other than just be faithful. Now, you may not be as good at it as another person, but there's not just a ton of requirements, are there? What requirements are laid down in Scripture before a man can wait on the Lord's table? I don't find any of those. He can pass a tray around. Doesn't take much qualifications, does it? An individual may not be the greatest at singing, but like I've told some singers, as long as you get that first note out, most of the time the church will just help you out. I know that because I do that sometimes. But you see, sometimes there's things that are required and sometimes there's things that don't have any requirements. How about this one? There are some things that are required of God, are they not? Folks, the worship services are not optional. They are required by the Almighty God. It is a must that you be here. I hope you heard that today and that you're not surprised to find that out come Judgment Day. We shouldn't have to do that. They are required. Now there's other things that may not be required. They just involve a person who has a spirit that is willing to serve. I want to go to Anthem Lakes and encourage those individuals and hopefully teach the gospel maybe to someone who's lost out there. I want to be involved in vacation Bible school preparations on those Thursday nights and Tuesday nights to make that work successful. They're not required, but I want to do that. I want to be a part of the congregation. I want to help. I want to, what are those two-letter words? I want to do. How about this one? Some things involve organized effort, don't they? If we're going to have a door-knocking effort in our community, that takes a little bit of organization and it takes all of us getting together and doing that. But there's other things you can do as an individual. You can teach your next-door neighbor the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can hand someone a tract, can't you? You can leave one of our calendars that we have somewhere for individuals to pick up. See, those things are just individual in nature. They don't require organized effort. Some things require a lot of time and a lot of discipline. Bible study is one of those. Just simply reading the Bible isn't going to get it. It takes a lot more time, a lot more discipline to sit down and really study the biblical text. But there's some things that just require our time, not much discipline. Our fellowship meals, our congregational gatherings. Folks, all you have to do is just come and be a part of those things. It's not something that's difficult and hard to do, but guess what? It's a part of the church. It's a part of the congregation. It's something you can do to be a member at Oceanside and to be faithful to God. One of the whats that this church has done well over the past 2 years is to support mission works that the elders have set before you. Do you know that? We've done great at that. What's interesting about that is this, that what revolves around our giving, doesn't it? This is what Paul says. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach, listen to him, except they be sent? The only way for a missionary to do his job is for congregations and members of the church to get behind that individual and support him and send him into the mission field. It's the only way that can happen. In the very next chapter, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. And in Romans chapter 12, he lists seven gifts that God can give to individuals. And what I find interesting in that list is that he lists one of those as giving. Isn't that something? One of the graces that God could bestow upon individuals is the grace of giving. And he mentions it in verse 8. Notice what he says. And unto him that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. My friends, for some reason, the Oceanside congregation has the gift of giving. And we've proved that, haven't we? And because of that, the elders again would love to challenge us to continue to support some works in 2024. We're going to be supporting at least 12 different works. Again, anything over budget is going to those 12 works. January, we're going to be supporting House to House. And that's a local effort, folks. The other day, Glenn was showing us how we mail to various places here in our area. And he put the cursor on the church building here and he went out in a 5-mile circle and about 3 of those miles were out in the ocean. We said, well, you can't mail in the ocean. Fish don't want that stuff. So I said, let's put that marker on my house, because it's about 3 miles in. So we put that marker on my house, made that 5-mile radius. Guys, in 5 miles around my home, there are 82,400 addresses. Not people, addresses. And that doesn't include anybody that has a post office box. It doesn't include businesses. 84,000. Plus homes. We only mail out 2,000 house to house every other month. We looked up the routes just right here in Atlantic Beach. And if we mail to everybody in Atlantic Beach, every home would get one issue of house to house in a year. Isn't that something? You know what that's not doing? That's not saturating an area, is it? If I get something in the mail once a year, you know where it's going? Yeah, file 13. If I start getting something on a regular basis, I start looking at it. Even if it's political, most of the time it just goes in the trash. But occasionally you'll start looking at that stuff, don't you? Cruise lines start sending you things. Start getting stuff every day. Finally, you start opening it up. Oh, that looks pretty good. Got a good price. So if we can raise a little extra money, we can use that money, and we're going to do some things with that money in our mailing of house to house and maybe make it a little bit more profitable. Did you know we've had several visitors and also some baptisms due to house to house? February, we're going to be supporting the Philippines again in Michael's stock. They've already purchased a piece of land. They've already raised about $30,000 or so in order to start building a building. And in that building, they're going to be doing many different kinds of work, including medical work out of that facility. It is a good effort that they're involved in. March, we're going to support our prison ministry. Those individuals usually come once a year, and I'm usually gone. That's just the way they do it. And y'all have been impressed at the work those individuals are doing in our prison ministry. April is the Georgia School of Theology. That's the school that Jet Smith went to. It's a very small school. It's only been established for about 2 years. The reason we are supporting that school is because it is small. They don't have as many funds and as many supporters as someone like the Memphis School of Preaching, and they need individuals to support them and encourage them in their efforts. Georgia Bible Camp, we'll be supporting that in May. That camp will start in June. It is unbelievable how many young people are baptized at Georgia Bible Camp every summer. It's a wonderful work. We've set aside 1 month for miscellaneous. That's June. Most of the time we'll have somebody contact us and say, hey, we need some support. We need some help. Those monies will go to a work like that this coming year. Chamala Mission is in July. We've talked about that. That's a work in Africa, is it not? An unbelievable work that is done there. And you guys have supported that unbelievably in the past. Latin American Missions, that's supported by the congregation over in Valdosta. And we've been on trips with those individuals. We'll be supporting the Rain Tree Village in September. In October, the work in Nigeria. That is a work that is under the oversight of the Arlington Church of Christ. Just recently, they purchased an ambulance. They're going to paint that ambulance, and they're going to send that ambulance over to Nigeria. It's going to cost somewhere between $4,000 and $8,000 just to get it over there. They're moving their hospital and facilities into town, and now they'll have an ambulance that can go out into the villages and bring people in to the hospital and service those individuals. A good work. This congregation was involved in that work many years ago. Has put a lot of money into that work in the past, and now they're in need of our help again. Notice this one in November. Three works are going to be supported. The Spiritual Sword, Gospel Broadcasting Network, and Apologetics Press. Every one of those are associated with our brotherhood, and they provide unbelievable material for individual members of congregations. And then our last one will be the Mount Dora Children's Home in December. Here's something I want you to do. I want you to think about our past performance. 2 years ago, we supported 13 works over the course of a year. When we did that, we contributed over $100,000 to those works. I want you to think about that. $100,000 over budget. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Where does the Oceanside congregation have $100,000 to give to works? We've got it somewhere because it was given. And I didn't see anybody go to the poor farm because of it. Last year we supported three works over and beyond our budget, and the total for those was a little bit over $24,000. Guys, that's $8,000 per work. You ought to be proud of yourselves, you know it. I've bragged on you to a bunch of people. In fact, AC told me the other day that they're probably going to do that next year at Arlington. If you ask, what can I do? Folks, there's one thing you can do. You can contribute liberally, bountifully, cheerfully to the mission works that we're going to be supporting in 2024. And I'll guarantee you, they need the money. You can't do the Lord's work without money. It's an impossibility. Point number three, what can I do? The word I is a personal pronoun, is it not? And guess what? It refers solely, only, specifically to me. What can I do? Sometimes we have a tendency to forget that Christianity is an individual matter as well as a congregational matter, don't we? You see, God is concerned about, yes, what Oceanside does, but God is also concerned about what I, Victor Eskew, do. I could pick out any individual in this audience and name you, and God is concerned about what you do. In fact, when we stand before God in judgment, He will not judge us as a collective unit. He will not judge us as a congregation of the Lord's people. He's going to judge each one of us individually according to our works. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books. Listen to him. According to their works. I must be doing. I must be working. I must be active. I must be participating. I must be the one executing the will and commands of God. I must be the one involved. Folks, when we say that we are going to do what I can do, it doesn't mean we look around to see what everybody else is doing. You know that? Everybody else can be doing exactly nothing. And guess what? I am supposed to still be doing. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing.
Well, they ain't doing nothing.
Who cares? That doesn't give you an excuse not to. I'm still supposed to be doing, aren't I? Again, when I stand before God, I am not going to stand before Him as the Oceanside congregation. I'm going to stand before Him as me and me only, aren't I? We'll stand as individuals, folks. You remember the parable of the talents? There were three servants, weren't there, who were given talents. One 5 talents, one 2 talents, one talent. I find it interesting when the Lord comes back from His journey and He calls those individuals in to reckon with them. He didn't reckon with them as a group of three. He reckoned with them as individuals, didn't He? And they were judged as such, one by one, after a long time. The Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. When you continue reading the text says this, and so he that had received 5 talents came, and then next, and also he that received 2 talents came. Then he that had received 1 talent came, one by one by one, they were judged by their Lord. Not as a collective unit, as individuals who are given talents. And that is exactly how the Lord will judge us in the last day. Fourth word, doing what I can do. You ever looked up the word can? It's amazing how many times we have all these little words and we never look them up. We use them, but we never look them up. Here's what it means. To be able to. Have the ability, power, or skill to. I want you to remember what we're not saying. When we say I can do something, it's not talking about what I think I can do. When I played football, I had some coaches want me to do some things. And guess what? When they first told me what they wanted me to do, I said, I can't do that. And guess what? I did do that. We can do a lot more than we think sometime, can't we? Folks, it's not doing what I want to do. That's the way most of us practice our Christianity. I'll just do whatever I want to do. And so oftentimes works in the church hurt because I don't do what I can do. I just do what I want to do. We talk about doing what I can do, not less than you can, what you can. Not doing only what I have always done. There may be a lot of things I've never done, but guess what? I can do them. And we're not talking about doing just enough to ease your conscience. You're not going to be judged on your conscience. Are you? Here's what we're saying. This year I'm going to do what I can do. What I have the ability, the power, and the skill to do. want you to think about some things. God has provided every one of us with a mind to acquire knowledge, hasn't he? I've talked to every one of you in this audience more than once, and guess what? I've never met a dumb member. You know that? Never. Every one of you are intelligent beyond measure. Oh, you may not be an Einstein. I'm not either. But we're not ignorant people, are we? Notice this. God provides us with talents that we can use in His service. Again, I know every one of you, and guess what? There's very few people that I know who are one talent men and women. Most of you have 5, 10, 15, 20 talents. God also provides us with opportunities to use our knowledge and our talents in His work. We've already talked about that, haven't we? Guys, within one local congregation, regardless how big or how little it is, there are tons of things to do if you want to do them. And God gives you opportunity to work. And guess what else He gives us? He gives us time. He gives us all the same amount of time. Some people say, oh, I don't have time. Yes, you do. God gives you time. It's just where you choose to allot that time. God's given me knowledge, skills, opportunity, and time. Folks, the only thing that will keep me from doing what I can is my own personal will. That's all. I realize occasionally sickness or things of that nature might get in the way. But that's just a temporary thing most of the time. We're talking about what we can really do for the cause of Christ. I want you to think about something. Have there been individuals in times past who, when God came to them, thought that they could not do something when God called them to do it? Moses was one of those individuals, wasn't he? Moses gets called by God to go redeem the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he says, oh, I can't do that. He got a bunch of excuses, doesn't he? One of his best was this. Lord, I am not eloquent neither heretofore, since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. Notice what he says. But I am what? A slow speech and of a slow tongue. I want you to think about that. You are not eloquent. You are not a statesman. You can't speak very well. And guess what you're about to do? You're about to go in and talk to Pharaoh, the head of an empire. You get up there and you're stuttering around and you can't hardly talk to him. You look kind of ridiculous, would you not? So Moses thought, there's no way I could do that. But guess what? What Moses thought he could not do, he did, didn't he? When you turn to Pharaoh, Moses is mentioned several times in the book. When you turn to Hebrews, he's mentioned several times in that book. Notice, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant. What Moses thought he couldn't do, he did. Hebrews the 11th chapter, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, a saying to do, were drowned. Who was it who led that charge? It was Moses, was it not? What Moses thought I can't do, he did do. Don't you think you can't? Because you very well may be able to do it. Got two questions. Number one, does God know what you can do? Wouldn't it be wonderful if God would just send you a letter saying, here's what I know you can do? Some of you wouldn't even open that letter. You know it? Don't anyone know that. See, God knows you. He created you. He knows everything about you, and He knows exactly what you can do, doesn't He? Here's the second question. If He knows we can do something, and He desires for us to do it, and we refuse, how do you think God views that decision? Folks, these are things we have to think about. These are real things. You know that? This isn't play. This isn't myth. This isn't something that we're just throwing out here and there's no backup for it. It's true. The last word is what? Do. Our theme is what? Doing what I can do. So our theme ends with do. Notice it begins with action and it ends with action, does it not? James 1:22 says this, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Doing what I can do. It's a lot more complicated than we thought, isn't it? Did you know only doers are blessed by God? Only doers. Notice what James says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein," listen to him, "he being what? Not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." My friends, if you and I want to be blessed by God, we must become doers. That was a fast point, wasn't it? One last point. The best example of a doer. When you turn into the Bible, who is the best example of a doer? Guessed it right, didn't he? Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth, he did the Father's will, did he not? We have numerous verses that tell us about all the things Jesus did. John 20, verse 30. Many other signs truly did Jesus. He did those things, folks. Jesus performed miracle after miracle after miracle. Probably hundreds of miracles. Probably thousands of miracles during his earthly ministry. I find it interesting when Luke opens up the book of Acts. He says this, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach." Jesus wasn't just a teacher, he was a doer as well. If you and I are going to follow in the footsteps of our Lord, we must become doers. I looked up not the synonyms, but the antonyms of the word doer. That's the opposite of a doer. These words aren't too good. A failure. A loser. A bum. A deadbeat. A freeloader. An idler. A layabout. A loafer. A ne'er-do-well. I kind of like that last one. You know, I may write an article one day, "The Ne'er-Do-Well Christians." Folks, is that the kind of person that we want to be in the cause of Christ? Bums, loafers, ne'er-do-wells? Who wants to be that? What is the synonym for a doer? Folks, the synonym is this: a faithful, obedient, servant of the Almighty God. That's a doer. If there were one verse that I would choose to be the key verse for our theme this year, it would be one that we've already read in this lesson, Matthew 24, verse 46. "Blessed is that servant whom, when his Lord cometh, shall find him" what? "So doing." My friends, we are servants. One of these days our Lord is coming. And our prayer ought to be that when He comes, He'll find me doing His will as faithfully as I can do it. Is there someone here that's not a Christian this morning? We want you to become one. The steps are simple, aren't they? Hear the gospel, James 1 verse 19. Believe in the Christ as the Son of God, John 8:24. Repent of sins, Luke 13:3. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus, Romans 10:9-10. And be immersed into Christ, baptized for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2:38. Dear Christian, we've got a new year, don't we? A new theme, doing what I can do. Have you been doing that? Maybe you need to repent and ask God to forgive you. We hope that you'll step up if you haven't been and do that in this new year. You need to respond to the Lord's invitation. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.